W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. The Buffalo, New York area blizzard has claimed more lives. This is Mayor Byron Brown.
The death toll in the city of Buffalo has risen to 14 confirmed dead. We unfortunately expect that number to continue to rise.
Officials have confirmed at least 7 more deaths in the area. More than 2 feet of snow officially fallen, but blowing and drifting snow has blocked homes, roadways, making it almost impossible for people to leave their homes and for help to get to those who need it. The power is slowly coming back on in places like Roanoke, Virginia, but some people won't get it back until tomorrow night there. Here's WDBJ-TV's Patsy Montesinos.
Appalachian Power spokesperson said wind gusts prevented them from restoring power.
It seemed like every time we restored 100 people, we lose 300.
The group is still assessing the damage in Roanoke County.
How many poles do we need? Do we need to bring in additional tree crews? How much wire do we need?
Police say blackouts in western Washington state weren't related to weather, but rather due to break-ins at 3 power substations in the Tacoma area. Crystal Lyons lives in Pierce County, Washington.
I try to calm my nerves by saying maybe this is the new egging of houses or TPing trees, although it's very extreme.
Russia claims Ukraine is the aggressor in the latest incident between the two countries. CBS's Tanya Rivero.
Russia's military says it shot down a Ukrainian drone over an airbase deep inside Russia overnight, and 3 Russian soldiers were killed by falling debris. The reported attack is the second this month aimed at that base. A Ukrainian Air Force spokesman says these are the consequences of Russian aggression.
And China continues to stake its claim on Taiwan. CBS's Tom Foti.
In its loudest rattling of military hardware since House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's visit to Taiwan, which it really did not like, China sent more than 70 planes and 7 ships toward the island it considers a breakaway territory of its own. China also makes clear it doesn't like the recently passed U.S. money bill calling for greater security cooperation between the U.S. and Taiwan.
The House Capitol Insurrection Report is apparently a bestseller. CBS's Christopher Cruz is in Washington.
2 editions of the report are at number 2 and 3 in Amazon's top 30. Because it's a government document, it's not copyrighted. So whatever other expenses publishers have, they don't have to pay the author. The more than 800-page document can be published by anyone. Don't want to buy it from a commercial publisher? Like just about any other government report, you can read it free on a number of government and media websites.
This is CBS News.
Facet Wealth is an SEC-registered investment advisor. They offer customized financial planning for you, not just your assets. Learn more by calling 888-598-3960.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Formal charges are filed against a Milwaukee babysitter, her boyfriend, the boyfriend's mother. 4-year-old Kalia King McGee was unconscious when she was taken to the emergency room earlier this month. She died 2 days later. The 3 adults face a number of charges, including neglect. At first, they told police Kalia was hit by a car, but they changed their story after investigators confronted them with their evidence. Police say the boyfriend beat the little girl. Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. You're never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you miss your favorite program, listen back anytime on the app or at our website, civicmedia.us. Happy holidays from all of us at Civic Media.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Mental health challenges impact us all in some way. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services is working hard to meet these challenges, ushering a new model of mental health care, redesigned with you in mind. This community-based system meets people where they're at with culturally competent services, better access, and no wrong doors to begin the journey. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services, here for you, close to home. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health emergency, contact 414-257-7222.
Work, the kids' practices, household errands, seems like every hour's rush hour at our house. But no matter how busy things get, we still make balanced nutrition a priority with help from Country Hearth Natural Breads. Whole grains and other natural ingredients are carefully blended and baked into delicious, nutritious breads like Dakota-style 12-grain, multi-grain, and 100% whole wheat. There's a Country Hearth favorite for everyone in the family. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday, that means Mondays with Sandy Williams. Sandy, I want to talk about the border quickly. Here we are again, And yet it's the same battle. How come we can't fix in this nation things that really we allow to fester and get to be major? And yet we can solve or attempt to solve all the rest of the world's problems, but we can't solve problems in our own backyard. How come we continue to face this battle at the border where, you know, that there are people who clearly is what is it, 42? Forgot the.
The declaration of health hazard that was the result
of COVID.
COVID, which
Donald Trump basically said that all of those people had to wait in Mexico because they couldn't, they would it be in danger of bringing COVID.
Right. So that expires on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And apparently then the question is, what is the policy at the border that will survive after the Title 42 expires? And
and there's going to be a flood. They're anticipating. My thing again, Sandy, is why do we wait till now?
Well, I mean, it obviously is a complex issue. But you know, George Bush II, during his administration, tried to line up his party and tried to get a bipartisan solution to what was then a border problem. Everyone has understood that there's a massive influx of potential immigrants coming from the South, and could not garner support from his party, and therefore couldn't come up with a bipartisan solution to it. And there was quite a bit of work done on it at that time. Clearly, the parties must look at this from very different directions. But there's nobody that won't acknowledge that there's some issues, problems associated with the handling of immigrants at the south border. And so this is just a clear symptom of the total gridlock in Washington. And we've got both parties saying there's a problem, but the parties can't even sit in the same room and seem to talk about it other than pointing fingers. One side, you know, since Trump saying let's build a wall and let's basically keep everybody from coming in, and the other side with different policies speaking about, you know, humaneness and openness of America to the need for refugees and immigrants to be able to enter the country. Meanwhile, our foreign policies seem to ignore the problems in the Southern Hemisphere, which create this horde of people that try to come. You know, Honduras and some of these countries are experiencing terrible vacuums in their government, terrible Haiti, Honduras, terrible poverty, problems that the United States could be addressing instead of addressing problems in the other hemispheres, instead of potentially sending, you know, $100 billion in the direction of Ukraine, we could be focusing attention on the fire we have burning. You know,
at your own border, in your backyard.
Yeah, the house is burning south of the border.
So what's driving immigration? Poverty, violence, lack of economic opportunities for sustainable livelihoods, food insecurity among the top reasons immigrants say that they are leaving Central America.
But in many respects, those problems are the result of a deeper problem, which is the lack of the rule of law and the lack of cogent governments in the countries in which they reside. And so there's so much rampant corruption, so much inattention to the needs of the people in their countries that these people are fleeing. You know, maybe 200 years from now, we'll all be fleeing America because our government process has stopped paying attention to the needs of the people.
So this kind of coincides with what you were saying. Common reasons for immigration to the U.S., better work opportunities, better living conditions, better education, safety from persecution and violence, reunification with family in the U.S., marriage, better economic output, growth, better workforce. So clearly those nations can't fix those things on their own. And it is an issue that these issues are going to have to be addressed. At least you're not going to stop people from coming to this nation. This is not going to end. And as long as they feel that this is an opportunity, and not only that, the fact that these people are needed, it would be a different story altogether if these people weren't needed in this country. Clearly, we all know that whatever side you're on, if you're on the side of build the wall, you also have to realize our nation needs to have some of these people in order for there to be a future for our nation. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. So,
well, incidentally, Earl, migrations of people and immigration across the world has become a world problem. And in many respects, every time there's a war, every time there's a famine, every time there are things going on that create desperation on the part of people, we have massive movements. There were massive movements out of the Middle East into Europe, much of which has fomented social unrest and political unrest in the countries of Europe. And there's almost as much hue and cry in Europe about immigration and the problems of immigration as we have here in this country. And so we all ought to recognize that the things that we do outside of our country has a great deal of impact on the people. We have an 8 billion person world now, and the 8 billion people creates instability and creates the need for migrations and immigration. And so one of the things that's predicted out of this growth in the world population, as well as the climate change, is massive migrations of people from one place to another, which creates political unrest. We're watching it happen right here in the United States.
So here's, again, Sandy, what I don't understand from the American people's perspective, not our government. How can you continue to be outraged at what's going on in Afghanistan, but you won't be outraged at what's going on in Guatemala? Right? I mean, people want us to do something about Afghanistan. You know, whatever it is, do something. But same thing, similar things are happening there, but we don't want to talk about the things down there.
Well, and the things down there actually have direct sort of linear collateral effects on the United States. When things are terrible and essentially unsustainable within a country, people will leave that country and they'll migrate to a place of greater opportunity. You know, America's quite a magnet in that regard. People don't leave countries easily. They're leaving their families, their cultures, their backgrounds. We ought to understand that just because there's more opportunity in America won't cause a family to pick up and leave where they're from and leave their culture behind. people leave when they're experiencing desperation. And so desperation is something that America's foreign policy can deal with. And the American public seems to want to meddle in other countries that are experiencing problems. We ought to be doing far more of that in our hemisphere and relating to the problems of our hemisphere, because it relates to collateral problems here in the United States, our border problem, which is a significant issue.
So here we are again, in a matter of days, something's going to have to happen, right? And you just wonder, all of this time, what were we doing? Well, we know this is going to run out. This time is going to run out, and so all these people are going to be released. They're coming. We knew this was coming, Sandy. Our government was aware of it. It's a failure of our government, and the American people should be outraged when the government fails because it didn't work, couldn't work together, right? I mean, you can't, on the one hand, say those people are coming here and we're sick of those people coming when the government didn't prepare to address it.
Well, I think what the government has failed to do is come up with a reasonable solution, right? We have this sort of binary situation. We had the Trump administration trying to slam the door altogether, which was a very difficult answer to the problem on the border because of what would be going on at the door then at that point when you slam it. And we have the other side of the coin, which was trying to deal with some kind of more moderate solution, but without the laws in place to deal with that, what's happened is that the law we have in place isn't built to deal with the problem that is in place. And so when you try to implement the law in some kind of moderate fashion, you get taken to court and it's determined that you can't do it that way. You can't, for instance, exercise prosecutorial discretion across the board and say we're only gonna deport people who have actually committed crimes based on their actual danger. Well, now the courts say, well, you can't actually exercise that kind of prosecutorial discretion across the board. So what we need, obviously, is for Congress to address this and develop the laws that can be used, that can implement a reasonable solution to the problem. And that's where we failed.
And as you state, what we need to have done, Sandy, this has been going on for decades now.
Yeah.
Okay. And so when we get to a point where the quote-unquote number one government in the world can't even fix a problem like this, right? But yet we are in other people's business and trying to deal with and tell them what they should be doing.
Well, I mean, Congress, when George Bush II put together his bipartisan group to try and examine how to solve this problem, it was viewed as a crisis at that point, which was in about 2002, 2003. So that's over 20 years ago. The crisis has been allowed to exist. I dare say that Congress has enacted nothing in the interim. The Congress hasn't been able to get together and pass really any material laws whatsoever to solve the situation, which was identified as a problem of the laws in place in the year 2000.
So hold the thought. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Monday. It's Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
you've got questions about navigating the healthcare system, Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Weather in a Moment brought to you by Wiscosh, providing technical assistance to workers, help with OSHA contract language, referrals to legal and health professionals, and assistance on safety and health. Call 414-870-3060. That's 414-870-3060.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly sunny this afternoon with a high of 17. Northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight, lows level off around 2 above. Daytime highs approaching 23. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Wednesday, with daytime highs approaching 36. 49, chance for scattered rain showers Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, 9 above.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Actually,
welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Here's a blast. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. And here's a blast from the past. Dave from Mequon. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Really quickly, Sandy's correct that this has been ongoing. Actually, it's been ongoing even way before George Bush. It's been ongoing for 40-some years.
Now, how come we can't fix it, Dave?
Or so.
Dave, how come we can't fix it?
Because you got too many people that really don't want it fixed. That's the reality of it.
So who doesn't want it fixed?
For a long time, I think both parties did not want it fixed for a different variety of reasons. And now we have currently today... essentially where I think the Republican Party is trying to do something about it. But then at the end of the day, you have, like I said, you look at the mayor of El Paso, Texas, and he's declared a state of emergency. And he has shipped more migrants than the Republican Greg Abbott has in the state of Texas, the governor there. And New York City now, I think they're up to 35,000 people. And the Mayor Adams has requested $1 billion to try to take care of the crisis going on in New York City. And so not only do you have that going on, but then you have, in Arizona, you've got it in New Mexico, you got it in California.
Hey, Dave, how come they haven't... How come they haven't been able to come up with an immigration policy, both Democrats and Republicans, in 40 years? That's not just on the Democrats, but the both of them.
That's something you have to ask Tammy Baldwin.
Baldwin hasn't been around for 40 years.
I think this.
Well, she's been there for a while.
And so has
Ron Johnson.
Yes.
And so what I would say is that the people in Congress, we should be questioning them as to why this has not been done, because I certainly have my reasons for not getting it done. But what is the reasons from them? They're the ones that are supposed to be taking care of this. And there doesn't seem to be any interest in doing it whatsoever.
Well, I would agree with you, Dave. I don't know why everyone's turning their back on it. Everyone does recognize that the laws in place are not adequate to deal with it. The Democrats have tried to deploy the laws in the way they would like them deployed, or at least, and the courts have said no, the laws can't be bent that way. And the laws, mm-hmm. if they aren't bent that way, create a very difficult process at the border. And so obviously there needs to be new laws put in place. And that was recognized by George Bush in, you know, with a bipartisan commission that he put together in the early 2000s. So it is a question, but to me it's symptomatic. We've got a lot of issues in Washington that need to be addressed and need to be addressed by legislation, and we have bipartisan gridlock. People can't agree. They can't agree on immigration. They can't agree on anything. The only thing they've agreed upon is a tax code that's filled with all kinds of pork, and every time it gets changed, it gets tweaked. You know, the one year depreciation change is very, very dramatic, okay? And it's a huge shift in benefit towards people who operate businesses. And incidentally, they used to have the investment tax credit, which was aimed at giving a credit to people who made investments and assets. And we dropped that because so many of the assets that they were purchasing weren't made in the United States. And so it no longer had this positive impact on the U.S. economy. Well, the one-year depreciation is really another version of that tax credit, and it's not going to have a great impact on the U.S. economy either, and in fact, we found out it didn't. It created a huge trove of cash for many corporations, and that trove of cash wasn't used for reinvestment so much as it was used for buying back stock and other things.
The other thing I was going to say, the one thing that has been bipartisan is increasing the military spending exponentially.
Yes, I know. We talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
And so you do have that. But when it really comes down to the meat and potato end of things with what we have going on, no, all these things are not being addressed. And because there is gridlock, it's getting worse. And it has an impact on all of us in a lot of bad ways, just for the simple reason that you have to house all these people, you have to clothe them, you have to feed them, and you got, I mean, it's a huge amount of resources.
Dave, there's also an issue that we're going to need many of those people. You know, it would be a completely different story if our nation didn't need many of those people to come in and make sure that our economy works. I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican, you know that there aren't enough Americans to take the jobs that are out here.
I think robotics is going to have a huge impact. I mean, that's
it could be, but the workers that we're talking about are the ones who are doing landscaping and hanging a wallboard and doing a whole bunch of jobs that robots will never do, and that's really the component of society that's being filled in our socioeconomic situation by many of the immigrants. But the other thing about immigration is that the United States currently, I think, has slipped below replacement rate for our population growth of indigenous people who are living in America. And the only growth in population we've had for a number of decades now has been through immigration. And you can look around the world and see that, I mean, I'm not sure this is good for the world, but economically speaking, countries that have stagnant or negative growth rates of their population suffer economically materially. So it will be bad for our economy.
All I have to do is look.
Dave, hang on. Lou from Cudahy, hang on. We'll come to you too on the other side. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Monday. It's Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
CBS News Brief. The snow has mostly stopped in the Midwest and East, and now the West Coast is bracing for heavy weather later this week. Weather Channel meteorologist Jordan Steele.
We'll have a series of systems. That was the first one. The next one coming into midweek, much more potent, diving all the way down into California. Once again, the amount of snow looks very healthy.
East Coast temperatures are expected to be above average later on in the week. Police are looking for whoever broke into and sabotaged power substations in the Tacoma, Washington area. Crystal Lyons lives there.
What is most concerning to me is the date of it. This is not just a random Wednesday or what have you. It is Christmas.
The BBC's Neil Nunes has this on a Russian claim.
Russia's defense ministry says three service personnel have been killed in a drone attack at the Engels Air Force Base in the southern region of Saratov. It said a Ukrainian drone had been shot down.
CBS News Brief, I'm Peter King.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Governor Evers and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss are talking about working together more in the upcoming legislative session. The two spoke last week for the first time in 2 years. Both sides say it was a good dialogue, but didn't share details with reporters. The Democratic governor and Republican lawmakers had a rocky relationship during Evers' first term, but after Evers won re-election in November, the two sides have talked more about trying to build a better working relationship. Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. We're always on air and streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. If you miss a favorite program, you can find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Happy holidays from all of us at Civic Media.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's your mind, Gene of Eau Claire?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's your mind, Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
What is dadication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dadication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
What's really amazing is I watch the highway workers.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit. These people do not work hard.
Take a look at yourself, take a look at yourself, take one big look, take a look at yourself, take a look at yourself, take a look at yourself, take one big look, take a look at yourself.
Came up short, man. That's right. Yes, just one time too many. Don't try to get too friendly. Nah. I shouldn't give you any. Nah. R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Mondays. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. You know, we're talking about the problem at the border that just won't go away because, you know, we can't get Democrats and Republicans to come to grips with it. And it's been going on for the better part of 40 years. And so, you know, here we are again. We're at the doorstep, and the crisis is unfolding. Let's go to Lou from Cutter. Hey, good morning, Lou.
We have invasion.
the new number from the administration is that 5,500,000 is the count of people who've been let in by Biden. And my question was going to be, how are you guys going to spin it? Well, you answered that when you said, we want these immigrants to fill these jobs. We don't have immigrants. We've got invaders. And when this Title 42 expires out in a couple of days, there's tens of thousands at the border there, all lined up waiting to invade.
What's your definition of an invader? You know,
invader. The people who are.
What's your definition of an invader?
Quiet, quiet.
Wait a minute. You
my definition.
No, wait a minute.
My definition is people who don't have our documentation.
I don't care what your definition is. You're not going to tell me to be quiet on my show.
On your show.
And I don't care if you ever call back. But let's get that clear first. This is not your show, and you're not going to tell me to be quiet. Okay, I'm going to give you an opportunity to speak like I do everybody.
Cut me off in mid-sentence.
Yes, because I'll tell you what's disrespectful. Any talk show host will cut somebody off in mid-sentence. But I'm not going to have you tell me to be quiet. Now, you can respond.
Well, I'm not going to be cut off like that, Earl.
I'll cut you off now, and you don't ever have to call back. So don't tell me what you won't be. I'll give you a chance to respond. Earl,
Democrats have always done stuff to damage this country, and this damages it immeasurably. The fentanyl, the human trafficking, and it's okay with Democrats because Joe Biden has removed all these stops that would make us safer. It's also a threat to national safety and security when you have these terrorists coming across the border. Now, what's your response, Earl?
Well, number one, if you think it's that simplistic, the question becomes, it's been going on for 40 years. And to say that it's Joe Biden's issue shows the fact that you are just unaware and don't have the capacity to understand the problem. Because if you could understand the magnitude of the problem, you would know it didn't just occur in the last 2 years. It's disingenuous of you or uninformed of you to simplify it to the degree that it's only been over the last 2 years that this has been a problem. Sandy, you want to respond?
Joe Biden.
Well, I don't, you know.
Joe Biden, yeah.
And this, I mean, the discussion here is so fired with self-serving arguments and without looking at addressing the problem. First of all, I don't know where you got 5.5 million from. I've just been looking at every different source, and I can't find a number higher than 2.7 million, which would be half of the number you described. And that includes illegal and legal crossings. But secondly, you know, the words you use to describe something demonstrate a bias coming into it. I mean, we have a problem, but whether these people are, you know, I think you on an earlier call suggested that these people were coming, were going to be armed, and were actually going to be insurrectionists to take over the country. And there's no fact basis to suggest that there's any such underlying danger from these immigrants other than the fact that they're coming in seeking a better life and seeking to work. Now, do Earl and I, and does everyone agree that there's a problem on this to the border? Absolutely. I think, does everyone in Washington agree that the laws currently in place are not adequate to deal with it? Absolutely. And so, you know, has Washington failed to solve the problem? Yes. Has the Biden administration failed to solve the problem? Yes. Did the Trump administration fail to solve the problem? Absolutely. Their answer, a wall, was not going to solve the problem in the long run, and it wasn't going to modify the laws to make them subject to being implemented in a fashion that would work. So, you know, we have a legal mess. And we have a Washington that can't deal with it. And one can point the finger only in both directions, not in one direction.
I think you're quite wrong on that, Sandy. Trump put up this Title 42 thing, which was a health protection. And number two, he put in place this Remain in Mexico program. And now Mr. Biden has erased both of those, right?
Just a minute. Biden did not erase Title 42. A court did. And a court said that the health emergency can only last as long as there is a factually based health emergency. And it determined that there wasn't one. So, no, it's not true what you said. But in any case, I don't think we should.
we need to discuss it much longer. I think you've identified where you sit on the issue, and I think that the main issue that we've got is a Washington that won't come to grips with the problem on any kind of anything like a bipartisan basis. Title 42
Trump
was
the
Title
Trump
40
came to grips with it, and he also had order on the border. We had the thing under control. And to, you know, Democrats as a class of people, as a demographic, do not like America and do everything they can to dump all over the rule of law
and the sovereignty of the country.
That's what you guys do for a living.
Well, I think that's a totally inflammatory comment, and I think it's suggestive.
Yeah, it is.
And
it
I think it's totally suggestive of what is maybe going to drive this country to a civil war. If we believe that the other party is going to ruin the country and is un-American, it creates grounds for any sort of conflict that would support defeating that other party from ever taking control because of the fact that you would believe that party taking control will destroy America and it is un-American.
When you and your side collapse the rule of law and endorse it and do things to make it come about and continue it, that's a problem most Americans.
Wait a minute. My side. I don't know what my side is. I don't. But secondly, the rule
of
law.
You're a leftist.
Well, I don't know. I've not been accused of being a leftist.
Where has the rule of law been collapsed? By the Democrats.
The rule of law is all these people coming across the border without identification, without vetting, and all that kind of stuff.
What about something as fundamental as the January 6th?
Do you need to ask me that question? Come on.
You know, one of the things, Lou, that I tell people constantly is that the real threat in this country is inside the country, is not from outside of it. And so when people when people talk like you, and when people do what happened on January 6th, and when the FBI says that the real threat to this nation is from within, clearly you make statements the way you make them that a lot of people like you. And so there can't be any reasonable dialogue because you come on and right away you point the finger and say, you Democrats, and you're the reason that things are the way they are. As if somehow Republicans and conservatives have not caused any problems at all in the society, and everything they say and do is 100% correct. Because that's what you're implying.
Here's the question. Who is the president right now, a Democrat?
I don't even know how we can continue the conversation. Thank you very much for the call. Excuse me. You know, Sandy, I don't even know how he does represent a segment of this country, and it's a It's a segment of this country that we can't seem to get to see things.
Well, I think the most troublesome thing that Lou says, and that people, I guess, who might agree with Lou would say, is that leftists, which apparently is people who don't agree with him, are enemies of America and are intent on tearing apart America, because that is the rhetoric that leads to the notion that any and all steps need to be taken to keep them, the left, from seizing America, which is, in fact, the rationale for the Proud Boys and for the January 6th insurrection, which is we need to stop Joe Biden from acceding to the presidency because the Democrats in charge will destroy America. And you know, it's one thing to disagree with the policies and say, you know, we think America will be better off in this circumstance than in that circumstance. But to take the position that the other party is intent on destroying America is to essentially accuse those people of being seditionists.
You know, Sandy, in just listening to Lou, he doesn't appear to be much older than 30. And so he's talking about things without having a clear understanding, I think, at all about the nation, about what's in the best interest of the nation. He's singularly focused on us against them. And what we're talking about is that there's got to be a coming together of both Democrats and Republicans to fix what's going on in this country. Not that it's, you know, the Democrats are the enemy. And clearly that's Lou's mentality. He's not alone. But he can't even see that there has to be a coming together at some point in time. Lou, that's why it's called the United States of America. And so, you know, if there's been a separation of the states of America, I'm not aware of it. You may know better than I. But Sandy, he can't even see that what's going on at the border is going to require an agreement by both Democrats and Republicans in order to make it work.
Well, I mean, I guess his conclusion is that the Trump policy of building the wall and slamming the door was somehow would fell within the laws and that somehow that the situation was under control under Trump. Clearly, it wasn't under control, that there was a festering sore that was going to continue to fester, and the conditions in these other countries forcing the migrations has become exacerbated over the last while. But I just think it's troublesome for us to talk and to have rhetoric of the nature. It's really beyond even McCarthyism. McCarthy at least thought he had to find out that you were a communist before he could decide that you were going to destroy America. Of course, McCarthy's definition of what constituted a communist was a rather broad one. And I know that Lou, when he called in earlier, suggested that I and the station were Marxists without, I don't think, understanding exactly what a Marxist is or was. And apparently that I am and the station represents leftists and leftists with a capital L that has some hidden definition that also makes it un-American. But I think that's the problem more than the initial discussion about the border itself. I think what we have to do is make sure that we structure our conversations with one another without accusing whoever it is sitting on the other side of the table arguing with us of being un-American. That's the kind of argument that is basically
happens. That's the danger.
It happens in the family when someone says, "That's just like you."
Yeah.
And then they march out of the room. You know, it's end of discussion.
You know, Sandy, I had a guy on last week from Texas, and he was my guest. And he was a national spokesperson for Gun Owners of America. And he said that he was down at the border, and he was down, remember, Connor? He was down with his, we'll talk about it after the break. Gotta go to a break. But he sounded a lot like Lou. I bet Lou was down there with him. Gotta go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Mental health challenges impact us all in some way. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services is working hard to meet these challenges, ushering a new model of mental health care, redesigned with you in mind. This community-based system meets people where they're at, with culturally competent services, better access, and no wrong doors to begin the journey. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services, here for you, close to home. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health emergency, contact 414-257-7222.
Knucklehead CBD and Vapes is now online at knuckleheads.shop. Step into your favorite smoke shop without leaving your home. Find grinders, papers, Delta 8, and more, all from your computer or phone. With free shipping on all orders over $50, you'll be sure to find exactly what you like. You can also order for in-store pickup, so there's no wait. Knucklehead CBD and Vapes.
Visit Knuckleheads Milwaukee at 2949 North Oakland Avenue.
Order online today at knuckleheads.shop.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
The
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon with highs around 17. Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 2 above tonight. Partly cloudy tomorrow, highs around 23. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun Wednesday, with daytime highs approaching 36. 49, chance for scattered rain showers Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, 9 above.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Monday's with Sandy Williams, and you too can join the conversation. Let's go to line one and Tom from West Dallas. Hey, good morning, Tom. How are you? You say what?
Good morning. How are you guys today?
We're fine.
Excellent. So two things. One, the gentleman who called in before, who was talking about terrorists coming over, I really believe that Trump created a bunch of terrorists, which in probably another 10 or so years we're going to have, when he went and ripped families completely apart, and no one knew where anybody was. You don't think that's going to really upset a lot of people and create a lot of anger towards this country? That definitely will. He created terrorists. Also, I also believe that this stuff doesn't get taken care of because it excites their base. It's kind of like abortion. Now, all of a sudden, oh, we did something about abortion. Now what? You know, is the way I see it, because now the Republicans lost because they actually did something. But before, when they were threatening to do it, that excited their base, that kept their votes coming, that kept money coming in. It was a money-making thing. And I believe the same thing with immigration. It's a money-making thing for both sides to keep the public riled up and not do anything about it.
Do you really think at the root of it is that? I mean, it is. I mean, really, you think that's what's at the root of it?
I don't want to think that, but, you know, after a while, 40 years of screwing around, why? Why don't you do something about it? What is keeping you from doing this? And I really believe money drives politics. And if you're upset, if you keep your base upset about, like, how this other guy is all wound up about all these people coming over, well, that's a vote for them.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, I'll let you respond. Let's take Rocky from Madison first. Hey, good morning, Rocky. How you doing? You say what?
Good morning. Two things. One, I absolutely agree with what you and Sandy have been saying for the last 10 minutes. But the more important thing is I'm in my 60s, and I remember when Reagan changed the laws and he stopped prosecuting employers. And that's when all the problems really started with immigration. I was in the trades quite a bit, and we all had jobs, and all of a sudden everybody was showing up from Mexico and whatnot, and we no longer had to report any of that to the government. So we could pay them almost nothing. And you can probably carry that into a number of other industries, the meat packers and a number of other places. My personal opinion is, once they reinstate the laws where the employers are the one going after the employers for hiring immigrants like they do in all other nations, this problem will start going down. And I really believe that the people in charge with all the money are the ones that don't really want that to happen.
Hang on, Rocky, because Sandy, yeah. I do remember. It is businesses that were hiring people illegally.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's right that, for instance, meatpacking houses, there were then a number of raids at the time when they began to enforce it. I think under the Obama administration, they began to use enforcement mechanisms to determine, because the fact is that these illegal immigrants who were coming in and working in that fashion and working illegally were sort of indentured servants. They had to keep the secret just as much as the employer wanted to keep the secret, and in exchange for that, they were getting exploited materially,
right,
and working long hours and low pay, and there were all kinds of problems. And That has continued to exist. One of the problems with illegal immigration is that the illegal immigrant is outside the reach of the benefits of protection for workers that exist for legal workers. And there's plenty of reasons why we need to figure out how to accommodate a reasonable flow of immigrants, as well as allowing for their lawful entry into the country, and to assure that they receive the protections that workers have been established for workers, because it is detrimental to the existing workers in America who might want that job. I mean, the fact is that employers are having a great deal of difficulty filling certain kinds of jobs. Roofing, all kinds of service construction jobs are having difficulty filling those jobs out of the current pool of workers. So there's a multiple bunch of economic problems at play here, as well as a bunch of problems associated with welfare. And what is clear is that the laws in place can't deal with it. And, you know, people can say, well, Trump was doing the right thing when he slammed the door with the wall.
Right.
And the Title 42 is going to expire when COVID expired as a health emergency. And the wall is only going to work to keep out those who are not legally allowed in. But the problem is, what is the proper flow of legal entrance into America? How should we handle that? That's where Congress needs to act, and they haven't.
Rocky?
I think Sandy is 100% correct on that. I don't think the workers are trapped. I mean, they have to be quiet. They have to keep their heads down. They're not doing illegal voting, not doing any of that stuff. But employers are making so much money off this really cheap labor. There's not a labor shortage. There's a pay shortage. They're not paying anybody anything. I mean, I'll get off the line because I absolutely agree with the direction you and Sandy are going. I just want to try to put in the fact that this started back with Reagan.
So Rocky, I remember that as well. And so, you know, it's easy to blame these people, right? I mean, it's easy to point the finger and call them. What did Lou call them? They were
invaders.
Invaders. Right.
Yeah.
So what's the point in using the term invaders? Is to ramp up the ire and the angst that some people will feel about those people?
Well, I think Rocky's right about the enforcement. I think enforcement has been increased in this area, and it was increased during the Obama period. I don't know if it was increased. As far as I know, Donald Trump cut the line on almost enforcement of any laws whatsoever. But the problems for immigration now have as much to do with the problems in the country that these people are leaving as it has to do with the opportunities they're chasing in America. And so we've got the differential between problems in the country in which they reside and potential opportunities in America has probably increased materially, even with enforcement against illegal employment.
Rocky, quickly.
Right. If I could add one quick thing.
Yeah, quickly.
One thing we have to remember is if you want to get people to give you all their money, you have to invoke strong emotions, and fear is a strong emotion. If you can make people afraid, they'll let you rob you blind. And I think that explains everything about that caller. He's afraid. He says all these weird things.
Hey, Rocky, thank you very much for the call, man. Thank you for listening.
Yep.
Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit wesaysaveit.org. That's wesaysaveit.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at thericksmithshow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.